Now, state Republicans approved an increase of about $150 million last week to spend on the state's K-12 schools in the next state budget. That's close to $1.5 billion less than what Governor Evers had put forward in his budget proposal. And now the U.S. Department of Education says that level of education funding could put more than $1 billion of federal aid for Wisconsin schools in jeopardy. You can join in at 800-642-1234. As this budget is being put together, how big a priority are schools, K-12 schools in particular? Do you want to see Wisconsin take advantage of federal funding from the latest round of COVID-19 relief? If you are a student, teacher, administrator, or concerned community member, call and share your thoughts about your local district and state levels of funding at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio state capitol reporter and co-host of the WPR Politics Podcast. Laurel, welcome back.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, can you give us a little more about how far apart Republicans who run the state legislature are from Governor Evers?
Well, pretty far apart. I mean, as you mentioned before, they came in about $1.5 billion short of what the governor wanted to do for K-12 in the next state budget cycle. And really, the primary reason for that huge rift is the amount of federal money that K-12 schools and higher education, for that matter, but this budget was just K-12 that we're talking about, the money that's coming in over the next few years as part of coronavirus aid. So Republicans say, look, schools are getting plenty of money. We don't need to be putting additional state resources there. We need to be cognizant of that large amount that's coming in and just kind of draw back on what we're going to do. And the governor obviously doesn't agree with that. He says there were increased expenses during the pandemic. Schools have had to handle a lot. And there are other needs like special education funding, for example, that he really wants to increase investments in and has wanted to increase investments in. And those are pretty expensive things to do. And Republicans just aren't on the same page.
Now, $1.5 billion, this is over, is that annual or the 2-year budget? I don't know. But the main thing is, it sounds like a big increase in the scope of state education funding. Is it a pretty big number?
That is a pretty big number. You know, to kind of put it in context for folks, it's not so far outside the realm of possibility. For example, during the last budget cycle, Republicans and the governor were able to come to an agreement on about between $500,000 and $600,000 in increase. So obviously we're not up at a billion there, but
five or six hundred million.
Yes. Sorry.
Okay.
Million.
Just double checking.
Millions and billions get a little wobbly sometimes, but you know, when we're talking about several hundreds of millions of dollars, mm-hmm. obviously these are big investments and they've been able to agree on a bipartisan basis on that big of an investment in the past. So if they can agree on sort of specific things that need that amount of money and it all adds up, it is feasible. You know, it has happened in the past, but it was a pretty big ask.
And now here's this other twist that you've reported on, Laurel. The federal government says, hang on, this federal money that you're counting on, you might not be eligible for it if you don't spend enough on education. What's going on there?
Basically, what the federal government is pointing out is that all three coronavirus aid packages had kind of requirements baked in for how states, not how they would spend the money, but how they would conduct themselves to be eligible for the money, if that makes sense. So basically, written into the latest round of coronavirus aid, it says states have to maintain their same level of education funding between the 2020 and 2023 fiscal years to get the additional federal aid. And according to a letter that was sent to the state school superintendent from the federal government last week, they believe that Wisconsin is not going to meet that that benchmark of keeping funding flat, based on what Republicans approved in the budget committee. So the federal government's kind of pushing back saying, hey, we put this requirement in there because we didn't want states to do exactly what we think you're doing, which is compensating for the additional federal money by scaling back your own investment. We wanted your investment to stay steady and the federal money to truly be a response to COVID-19, additional challenges, to kind of be an additional support because of what everyone went through with the pandemic.
Now, supposing this level of education funding makes it all the way through the legislature, then the whole budget goes to the governor, and you've reported that he is considering or wouldn't rule out vetoing a part or maybe even all of the budget. What are we hearing there?
We asked that this week of the governor, kind of in the context of the education budget, because Republicans did come in so low compared to what he asked for. And he said, you know, the option of vetoing the entire budget is certainly on the table. That's an option. I think it's really important for folks to know that that would be very unusual. The governor uses his partial veto power with every budget cycle. The governor did that. Governor Evers did that last time to increase education funding by a bit. He was able to do that. But vetoing the entire budget would basically send the whole process back to square one. And the reason that we're asking that is, you know, obviously coming up short on this education funding. But as we've been talking about on other things, Republicans have really removed a lot of the governor's priorities from the budget. So I think the question is, have they gone too far in his opinion that he's just not going to be able to stomach the budget, be okay with the budget, even with those partial vetoes that he'd be able to make?
Laurel, thanks a lot for bringing us up to date.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That's Laurel White, WPR State Capitol reporter, co-host of the WPR Politics Podcast. We're talking about funding of Wisconsin's K-12 schools and how that's playing out in the state budget. We'll bring another perspective in now. Alan Borsuk is back with us, senior fellow in law and public policy at the Marquette University Law School, also an education columnist at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here.
Before we start throwing numbers around here, Alan, you wrote a recent piece about the quality of the debate over education funding or lack of same. What do you see in there?
Yes. I'm old. I remember when people actually talked about issues, and this was just different levels of partisanship, almost setting aside the issues. They really never discussed what do students need to get a good education and what role even will the federal money play, or, you know, even their everybody's favorite debate between the school voucher program and the public schools and such. It was just strict partisanship on both sides, I should add, except the Republicans had the 12 votes and the Democrats had the 4 votes. But it was harsh. It was and they just were totally not listening to each other. And in my book, if you're not listening to your opponents, you're not going to ever reach a middle ground or a compromise or even a serious discussion. So I found it a pretty distressing session just as a observer of the scene.
Well, let's look at the proposals now from Governor Evers, $1.5 billion-ish increase in education budget. Republicans, $150 million increase. I don't know. What do those numbers say to you? Are they just kind of pulled out of thin air? Are they looking at real needs? Why is the gap so far apart? I'm throwing too many questions at you at once, Alan. Take it where you want to go.
I think a lot of this, again, is just political posturing. What the governor asked for, he knew he would never get. And the Republicans, to give him 10% roughly of what he asked for, that's not exactly the middle ground, is it? You get 10% and I get 90%. I wish they were discussing what do kids actually need? What are schools going to do with this large amount of federal money that is coming in, but it's not coming into every district in the same way. One of the ironies here is I think the Republicans would like to punish Milwaukee, but it's Milwaukee that's getting this huge amount of money. It's more than $750 million over the next several years, federal money, Biden money, so to speak. So Milwaukee's not the one that's going to get punished. It's a lot of their own districts that are getting relatively small amounts that are going to be most strapped here by holding basic state spending on education to zero increase.
Let's talk about that federal money. What are schools supposed to be doing with this stuff that ends up for some districts being a decent chunk of change?
And that's a really good and important question, generally too much overlooked. I think, you know, they do have huge COVID-related expenses, you know, all that social distancing and all the precautions and cleaning and all the shields around desks and everything. All these things cost money. Especially for the school districts that were open, which the Republicans are very partial to. So all of those expenses, which can come to really big hunks of money, proportional to their budgets, that's in there. 20% of it in the third WAD, which is by far the biggest, is supposed to go to mitigating student learning loss, which could include summer school, extra hours, extra tutoring, any kind of effort like that, but it's supposed to be directly aimed at learning. So districts are trying to come up with plans like that. I think a lot of school districts are planning to increase summer school for one thing and increasing counseling, social and emotional issues for students are a very big deal at the moment. So more social workers, more psychologists, more help available. So that's what they're supposed to do with the money. I think in a lot of districts, frankly, it's not going to show up as clearly or in as creatively as might be wished.
Right now, we're picking up our talk about funding in the state budget for Wisconsin's K through 12 schools. Alan Borsuk is with us, senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School, education columnist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see Governor Evers' a fairly substantial budget increase for schools in Wisconsin or a smaller raw number increase from Republicans in the legislature? Are you in the midst of figuring out what to do with federal money in your school district as part of COVID relief packages? What is it going toward in your community? Do you have questions for our guest? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Alan, you mentioned the budget debate you saw in a committee in the legislature was mainly partisan. You said you'd like to see people start from a place of, hey, what do kids actually need? If we had a conversation that went along those lines, what kind of things would you want to see them focusing on as starting points?
Well, I think there are other states, frankly, that do a much better job of this, that the process is more oriented to how do we make progress. To digress slightly, Wisconsin's academic progress by any of the standard measures, which have been pretty much suspended for the last 2 years because of the pandemic, has been almost zero. And everything's been stagnant for 20 years. So to say, what are we doing about reading, which did come up a little bit from one Republican legislator, what are we doing about reading? What are we doing about math? What are we doing about getting more kids into college? Being much more kid-oriented and success in school-oriented would certainly be appealing. What do kids in a place not only like Milwaukee, but in any of the poverty areas in the state, and that would mostly be Madison, Green Bay, Kenosha, Racine. Those are the five largest districts in the state, including Milwaukee. A lot of states have formulas that give a bonus, so to speak, to high poverty areas because it is clearly established that it takes more to succeed with kids coming out of poverty, and largely they're Black and Hispanic kids. What are we doing? What is really a good way to handle special ed? And a lot of the public school advocacy was focused on mental health on special education and trying to jack up the special education allocation from the state, which is one of the lowest percentages in the country. And that there was a minimal increase from 28% to 30%, and even that's kind of maybe because the amount that's allocated may or may not fit that. The governor wanted 50%. Public school people wanted 60%. The candidates, both of them for state superintendent in the election 2 months ago, wanted 90%. So just what does it really take to succeed with kids is like not the subject, and that really concerns me.
We heard from Brad from Greenfield, who asked about funding for voucher schools in state budget, and he mentioned that wasn't the hot topic in committee, at least that it has been in years past.
Yeah.
Is it something, how is that shaping up in the budget?
Well, the per student increase for public school students is zero by the state budget action. For the voucher and charter schools, it's really minimal. I think it's $37 per student the first year and $64 the second year. So that it's a little bit in there, but it's still very minimal. The voucher and charter people would like to close the gap that they get less per student than public schools do, and this really won't change that equation at all. So it's basically status quo when all is said and done.
Let's bring on a caller now. David is with us in Sun Prairie. David, hi.
Hi. Wasn't there a time when the state would provide a higher amount toward education than they do now? Like, let's say over the last 40 years, percentage-wise, and what was that?
David, thanks for the call. Alan, I think he's talking about the two-thirds state funding commitment?
It sounds like it. Going back to the mid-90s, the state committed to paying for two-thirds of the general operating costs of public school districts. It's actually not that different. It started slipping, in fact, in the last budget under Jim Doyle in 2009 when he was governor, and then stayed below two-thirds under Scott Walker, the 8 years he was governor. But I don't know the current number, but it's about 65%. It's not like it went to you know, in single digits or 20 or 30%. It's still pretty high. But yes, and the increases per year through the 90s up till about 2008 were about at usually minimal of $200 per student. And now we're talking about zero. So that's one of the striking facts. This maintenance of effort issue that's going to be a hot subject before this budget is done is just, will the state maintain the same percentage of its overall spending going towards kindergarten to 12th grade schools? And that's a really important question, both politically and as an issue philosophically.
David, thanks for the call. And that maintenance of effort you just mentioned, Alan, that's the key that determines, if I understand this correctly, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that determines if Wisconsin's eligible for a lot of that federal money that would go to schools. Do I have that right?
Well, yes, I would say the Republicans are probably right that the final word on what this involves and how it's going to work out hasn't been reached yet, but that is the way it stands now. And the amount that the Republicans put into K-12 spending would not maintain the effort, so to speak, which could cost them the entire $2 billion plus payments from the feds. So if they're arguing for holding it to zero because we're getting all this federal money, then you have to do what you can to keep the federal money. The Republican leaders said, we'll work it out. It isn't going to go away like that. And that well could be true. There's going to be more episodes in this drama.
Alan, in our last minute and a half or so, you wrote a piece recently where you tried to tap into your optimistic side, and that was mainly focusing on the Milwaukee area. And I know you've seen a lot of ideas come and go over the years that may have sounded good and went away. What kind of things, if you could find them statewide, are making you feel optimistic?
There are still a lot of really good teachers. There are a lot of students who are doing great. And every time I run into either of those teachers or students or hear about them, it's encouraging. I went this morning to the ribbon cutting for a new early childhood center on the south side of Milwaukee from the United Community Center for kids from 6 weeks to 4 years old. Really encouraging because that's such an important area of a child's development. Some of the schools in Milwaukee, even in the worst neighborhoods, are doing really well, but it's a small number and needs to be in perspective of saying, I'm really concerned about the total state of how kids are doing. And that goes not only for low-income and minority kids, but as I said, kids all across Wisconsin – white kids in Wisconsin are doing worse than white kids nationwide, according to the National Assessment of Educational Progress. People underestimate the importance of that statement, and that it's not just about, so you know, the unfortunates or whatever you want to call them. It's about everybody, and why aren't we talking more about what to do about that?
Alan, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Glad to be here.
That's Alan Borsak, Senior Fellow in Law and Public Policy at Marquette University Law School, education columnist over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Talked to him today about the debate over funding for K-12 schools in Wisconsin's state budget.